having a small cohort is a unique experience, we are able to go deep with each other. We are able to get to know each other outside of the classroom and really get to know each other as humans and not just as students.
Meet Brittany, who graduated from the Executive Masters in HRD at the University of Houston back in December of 2021. When we met, it wasn't long before our conversation turned to the unique nature of the program's design, and specifically to how small cohorts enable students to not only get more from the experience, but also to extend the benefits well beyond graduation. Let's hear more from Brittany.
When you're going through a program, you're bound to be changed by the curriculum. You're never going to be the same once you come face to face with new theories and new research and new concepts. You are never the same once you go through an experience with a small group of people. You can't have those close relationships and not be changed. One of the most rewarding experiences as a part of the program is getting to see up close and personal the transformation and the change that happens over time with your cohort members. I can call out each of my cohort members by name and can say, in the beginning of the program, I noticed this quality in you, but at the end of the program, wow, you are completely different, and here's why. No matter, you know, how I talk about my program at work, how I talk about the program to my family and my friends, no one will ever understand what I went through with this program unless you went through it together. And going through those challenging times and going through the joyous times, it brings you together. And I have developed friendships, like lifelong friendships, from this cohort. And it wasn't just because we were classmates, it's because we were this small group of classmates who went through this unique experience together, learned from each other, built close, intimate relationships, and those relationships translate outside. And I have this close new network of professionals that, you know, can form a community of practice, and we can continue to learn and grow. You cannot have that experience in a traditional program setting or even in a larger cohort setting. I think it's just impossible.
Welcome to Executive HRD. I'm your host, Darren Short, and in this series of 10 episodes, we're lifting up the hood and looking inside of the University of Houston's Executive Masters in HRD to explore what it means to undertake an HRD Masters and to surface some of the expected and unexpected benefits. Along the way, we meet current and former students and faculty members, as well as others involved in the program, to learn about what makes the University of Houston's program so special as it celebrates its 10-year anniversary. Already in the series, we've heard about the design of the program and benefits for students and alumni as well as their organizations. In this episode, we take a more focused look at a key aspect of the program's design, that of cohorts and the idea that students go through the program together in a small cohort. And we answer the question, how do cohorts impact becoming? To do this, we'll meet 7 current and former students to hear about how this cohort experience differs from more traditional approaches to master's programs and the benefits that flow from going through a program in a small group. We'll also hear from Sharonda White, program manager for the Executive Masters, about how the student cohort experience creates something special that becomes a second family. We started the episode by hearing from Brittany, a graduate of the program. So let's now continue our look at cohorts by meeting Jay, who's a current student in the program and a 17-year veteran of working in HRD at a major hospital in the Houston area. Let's hear from Jay about why the cohort concept attracted her into the program.
For me, it was the advertisement of the cohort that piqued or captured my interest. I have more of an introverted preference, and the thought of being in an auditorium or having a lot of classmates with almost intimidating. And so when I began to read over the description for the executive master's at the University of Houston, it was the appeal of a cohort. Now, where I work, cohorts range in up in size to 45 participants. So again, more of a yikes feeling for me. But when I was able to speak to Sharonda and Dr. Waite and realize that the maximum size for this particular program was 15, I immediately felt comfortable and at ease. And for some people, it may seem that's not enough, but it really is, for me, optimal and allow me to share and receive information. It has allowed me to relax and remove anxieties. It has helped me form like partnerships and really share and being open and willing to share with others, because it's more of a family atmosphere and more of a giving and receiving of information. And it's not intimidating at all. And I don't feel like I've missed out or lost anything in this experience. So it's really about the size of the cohort that makes sense for you. And, you know, I look at all of my learnings from junior high, middle school to elementary. And I'm like, you know, growing up in school, I was always in a class of 30 and I never talked. My best friend is an extrovert. So again, she made the connections and I just sat there and observed, but it worked and it still works for me now. And I'm just very appreciative that this is not so overwhelming and allows me to be me without the pressure or the anxieties of being something else. I literally get to listen, learn, and contribute in a style in a way that makes sense to me. In my organization, we run cohorts. Again, I'm over a cohort program and we have 30 or 40 people. I don't see the level of bonding and support in that program as I see in the experience that I'm having. And I truly think it's just because of the size. If an individual were thinking through what makes sense for me in my life, is it the enrichment of a large crowd or is it the intimacy of a group of few? I think that's the question you have to ask and the answer you have to decide if a cohort is right for you as an individual. I think in life, everything is a cohort. It's just looking at how do they show up in your life.
As we heard there from Jay, there's clearly something special about the idea of a small cohort. A group of people who are going through the same experience at the same time. And for Jay, and no doubt others, that offers a more appealing way of learning than being in a large class where it could be more challenging to build relationships and also to speak up. Of course, size of the cohort is only one factor in determining the student experience. Another is who is actually in the cohort. Let's hear now from former student of the program, Abby, who is an HR leader at a manufacturing company with 7 years of experience in different aspects of HR. Abby spoke to me about the diversity of those in the program and how it aided her learning.
When I think about cohort, I think about a group of individuals, like-minded individuals that sort of have the same similar interests or goals as you and are there to help collaborate and learn through experiences from each other and also even evolve together. So you're not just connecting with these people for one day, you're sort of growing with them. We are all going through the same courses together. We are all learning together. We're all sharing experiences together. And that, I think, makes it different than individuals who come into programs at different places in their careers. We're all coming in as working professionals. What I really enjoyed about the cohort I was part of was the diversity in the group, ethnic diversity, gender diversity. There were a lot of women in my program. There were individuals that had families. There were some that didn't. And obviously age differences. There were individuals that were a lot older. There were some that were very early careers. And I would even say, I would go as far as saying diversity in careers as well, because there were some individuals who came from different industries, came from different parts of HR that maybe you wouldn't think are HR related. And they all brought a different perspective. We had a couple of veterans that were part of our cohort that, again, we're able to bring in some real life combat examples of team building or training. Definitely helps you kind of learn from them a little bit more about their experience. And that's really helpful, I think, because a lot of times when you keep doing the same thing every day, you go to work, you perform the same tasks or similar tasks in the same company, you're so narrowly focused that you don't really think about how this might be applied in a different group or in a different area, or even taking some of the strategies that are shared by your colleagues or cohort members that they've used. So it was really great to hear the different perspectives and the different thinking on, and approaches on some of our curriculum and activities that were assigned.
As we heard there from Abby, there's a diversity in the cohorts that adds significantly to the experience. These people are all working professionals who are learning together and sharing experiences together. As she called out, there's a diversity of gender, age, ethnicity, experience, careers, industries, and more. And that diversity brings with it different perspectives that everyone can learn from, and so adds a richness and a depth to the learning that's over and above what faculty are bringing into classes. So we've heard now about the size of the cohorts and also about the diversity of those within the cohorts. Let's now meet Anne, who graduated from the Executive Masters in 2015, about her experience of diversity and about a third aspect of the cohort experience, that of a community of support. Here's Anne.
There's a diversity of age. There's a diversity of cultural background. We had, one student from Venezuela. We had someone from Brazil. My family's originally from Vietnam. We had someone that origins Korea, different age groups. I mean, I'm thinking we had one that was a grandpa. Like, it was just all over the board, but it added such a richness because, again, there's different generational differences that exist, but being in that cohort and having that different representation, you're able to build that bridge. It really was community in every sense of the word. It was a community of support. It was a community of practice. So our cohorts were from like 6 to 9. So you can come in after a day of work and you could vent, or you can say, like, I had this really challenging conversation. This is what I said. Was that the right way to say it? Then it switches to, okay, well, how do we solve that? Like, why do you think you were feeling like that? I remember one of the best pieces of advice I got, they were like, your tone, you may be saying one thing, but the way your tone is, it sounds like you're more or less saying the opposite. And so I, it was a great way to come in to again, get a community of support, have a community of practice, have that collaborative space where you weren't just going in and inventing and getting caught in the negative spiral. You quickly pivoted to now problem solving. You just had these people who were just genuinely there to give you advice. It was like our own little bubble. And I think the foundation of all of that is that it was a very safe place from the beginning. I mean, even just the team building exercises that the program builds in the beginning, the Berkman assessments and those type of things for us to build that self-awareness around ourselves, understand our cohort members' personalities and be mindful of that. I think that creates that safe space, that true sense of belonging, that you can come in and be vulnerable and say what's on your mind in a very non-filtered way, knowing that your cohort understands you and will help you through your thought process so that when you leave, you actually have something you can implement the next day instead of coming in, griping about a problem and leaving it in that negative state. It goes through that process where you can feel your emotions. You can point out like your frustrations or test out some ideas, but you ultimately leave with, 13 other people having given you advice from their perspective. And there's so much range of experience and backgrounds within the cohort that you really do get such a well-rounded advice from your counterparts.
It's interesting to hear the language that Anne used to describe her cohort experience. She referred to it as a safe space, as a bubble, as a community of support, and as a community of practice, all of which sound conducive to learning, and so it's perhaps not surprising that such an environment enables students to help each other, become vulnerable, to give advice and feedback, and to create what Anne described there as a collaborative space. So our picture of cohorts is gradually forming. We're hearing about the importance of size, diversity, safety, community, and collaboration. Let's now meet Stephen, who graduated from the Executive Masters in 2015 following a successful career in the military. Stephen partly chose the University of Houston program because he was looking for a local network of professionals. Let's hear about it in Stephen's words.
I've had the experience of going through college, you know, university, kind of alone, if you will. You have somebody that you see in a class you like, you think they're, you know, you believe that they're strong at what they do, but then they have their own major degree or path, and you know, you may not see them anymore. But with this cohort, the experience, I was able to go through it with the same individuals for the duration, which was 11 months. And so I'm really glad that it had that cohort component to it versus me just kind of taking some classes with random people every other semester. Like most things in relationships, you'll find people that you are drawn to, that you say, oh, after this is done, we're going to hang out, you know. So there's, out of the 11, there's probably 3 to 5 that I stay in contact with. One that we talk every 2 weeks, and he was kind of like my study buddy. Now we studied quite extensively together, but we've talked about different topics, you know, look at our Harvard Business Review articles and read them, and at Starbucks at the coffee shop, and, you know, discuss our findings and be prepared for when we go to class. And then, you know, even to this day, we're still talking about current events and talking about our life and our families and our career paths and how we're growing within our careers and what challenges that we're facing. And hey, do you have any advice? And, you know, what can you share? Like I say, in the beginning, one of the reasons that I chose a program that was close, you know, that was in Texas, in Houston, so I can have some people that I can be connected to.
Like others we've heard from in the episode, it's interesting to hear how Stephen views the benefits of a cohort program compared to those of a more traditional design. And for Stephen, clearly one of the benefits was the relationships that formed during the program, that were helpful while Stephen was completing the Executive Masters and have lasted well beyond his graduation. I can imagine that a small, close-knit cohort of people who are going through the same experience together is likely to create strong bonds between people, and that the strength of those bonds help them to sustain over time. The usefulness of these bonds, these relationships, after the program was something talked about by another former student, Ed, who, like Stephen, entered the Executive Masters following a successful career in the military. Let's hear about how Ed viewed the role of relationships within his cohort experience.
A cohort is a group of people, in my perspective, is a group of people that are trying to advance in their career. But the nice part about the cohort is they're not trying to advance on their own. You're trying to advance as a group. And it makes a lot of difference because when I was going through my bachelor's degree, yes, you get put into groups, and that group stays for maybe a week or two, or until the project is done. It could be a month. You don't build those relationships. You don't see the challenges that people are having. And if you do, it doesn't really stay with you because, you know, you're always expecting that you're going to be placed in another group with 4 other strangers or 5 other strangers. The idea of the cohort being with you the entire time that you're learning, I think it's a fantastic idea because you build those relationships. Yeah, you develop friendships, but that wasn't what was important to me. But what was important to me is to see through the eyes of other people what their challenges were in business. I need to know what I'm going up against. And so being in that cohort and getting intimate with those people where they actually trust you to tell you what challenges they're having in their job on a daily basis, that was really key for me. Having been in the military, I hadn't been in business. And so that was really important for me to learn. And so I ate all that up. I soaked that up like a sponge. And I'm actually going through a lot of those challenges right now. And because of the cohort idea and because of the learning that you do as a group, I'm able to tackle those challenges. And this is the other important thing, is that the cohort typically stays in touch with each other. We've been in luncheons together. We've been in HRD functions. And so we still communicate. And so I think that's one of the biggest things that I got. I mean, like I said, I wasn't looking for friends. I wasn't looking for long-term relationships with these people, but it just happened that way. And so I think the development part within the cohort is really crucial. It's really important because not everybody's going to be the same. Everybody's going to be learning differently, but everybody's going to be learning something from each other. I can tell you right now that if I was there with several military members, we probably wouldn't have learned as much. I don't think I would have gotten the same return on my investment, to tell you the truth.
As we've heard from others in the episode, there's something special about how the cohort experience brings together people with a diversity of experience and places them in a trusting environment where they're working together, helping each other to learn and advance their careers. And Ed spoke there about how he's applied some of the lessons he'd learned to address challenges since leaving the program. And so he still stays in touch with his fellow cohort members so they can continue to help each other. Of course, helping can take many forms, all with the goal of supporting people as they learn. Sometimes that help comes in the form of feedback or advice or just someone to listen. And as we hear next from former student Winston, there are times when that help goes even further into a realm that's likely to only occur when the environment truly is one of support and trust. Let's hear about it from Winston.
A cohort experience is really the experience of a family. That's the closest thing that describes a cohort. It's small, it's integrated, it's messy. You have your highs and you have your lows. You're crying one moment, and at the next moment, you are high-fiving each other. You are stressed one moment, and you were perfectly okay with the next assignment. It's a small snapshot of a family that you're not born into, but you are adopted into one. And that gives you a kind of sandbox environment where you get to be what you can be and practice what you really want to be. It stays the same for 11 months. And for 11 months, you have a secondary family and you are going to be either criticized or helped just like any biological family. Or if you do well, you're praised. If you do poorly, you are critiqued and even criticized, but you are shown almost a sense of tough love. The support is very tactical. So more than strategic, it's, hey, these are the classes we have for this semester. These are the professors. These are the assignments. You, first of all, stay in touch with each other every day of the week and the weekend. You partner on assignments. You make sure that if your partner has completed their assignment, read the reading material, and have any questions, clear everything, because there are no winners here. Everyone either wins or everyone loses. So keeping each other on track for the assignments and for the work ahead, that's foremost. That is support you receive from each other and you give to each other. The challenge piece, first it comes in constructive criticism. This is what you could have done, but this is what you did. Then it comes into almost interview. Why did you do this? You know, why did you do A or B or C when you know you could have done better? Or did you not know? you almost interview your peer, right? And you give them the complete benefit of the doubt. And then you set the bar for what is good, better, and best. Your peers give you that because they come from various circumstances. They come from different companies. They come from diverse backgrounds. You receive it, you take it, you give it. That challenge portion is what really lies, because you're challenged not only by your instructors, but also your peers, but your peers help you and your instructors tell your peers how to help you. So that way you're not stuck where you are, you move on.
There we hear Winston describing the cohort as a family, small and integrated, where within the family you're helped and praised, and then from the perspective of being challenged, you're critiqued and questioned. To use Winston's term, you receive a form of tough love. In my experience, it takes a special type of environment for that sort of challenge to emerge. It's a place where people feel safe, where people trust each other's intentions, where people feel okay to be vulnerable. To an extent, it feels like the sort of space where people may see more of you than you would typically reveal to colleagues and peers. And that aspect of cohorts was explored by Anne, who we met earlier in the episode. Let's hear from Anne again as she describes her experience.
I think the biggest thing I learned from the cohort was just my own skills and strengths. When you walk in, there's these group of strangers, and through the time you spend together, they're getting to know you and who you are and how you approach your work at that particular moment in time. And so I think having that type of kind of rapid relationship development and really having such rich discussion. I remember there was an exercise we did toward the end where we each had a poster paper with our name on it. We all walked around to each other's posters and we wrote something about that person on their poster, about what we noticed about their personality or what we've noticed in their growth. No, sorry, I'm getting emotional, but I remember like reading my poster and be like, wow, these people see me. And these people that you've known for essentially at this point a year know you in a way that maybe some, you know, friends you've had or coworkers you've had for many years don't necessarily see in you. Or some of these skills, you know, you may discount them. You're like, oh, surely everybody, you know, does this, surely this is, you know, I'm not special, you know, it's just something that, and you kind of discount yourself. But then when you see people call it out as a unique skill, like that they recognize in you, then you're like, oh, there's such a level of safety where they could say, wow, you're really good at this. I really admire you for doing this because I can't do that. And that's a skill that you have. And it's like, oh, okay, it is a skill. And so I think what the cohort was for me was, it was a way to like, it was like a mirror back to show me what my strengths and capabilities were. So I think, you know, having that cohort and having those people, it just made it very real and very special. And I think had I not been in a cohort, if I was just taking a regular program where I was online by myself or kind of going to class, going to midterms and kind of going through the traditional, you know, way things are done, I don't think you miss out on that. It was such a beautiful experience. Like, it's given me three of my best friends that we've gone through so many seasons together. We've gone through weddings. We've gone through divorce. We've gone through children being born. We've gone through illness, COVID together, you know, so just the lifelong friendships, and we continue to support each other professionally as well. The cohort was just the beginning.
Clearly, something special happens within a cohort. And we can hear that in the emotion shared by Anne as she describes being seen by others, and how the trust within a cohort enables that to happen. Back in the episode on the design of the program, Director of the Executive Masters, Dr. Consuelo Waite, described how the design is constantly being reviewed and updated to keep it relevant and current. While that obviously applies to the content of the program, it also applies to other building blocks, including the cohort design. And back in 2020, a change was made to shift the intake from once to twice a year. And so students can now start the program in the fall and spring. And when they do that, they join an existing cohort. This retains the advantages of the cohort design that we've already heard about during the episode and adds an extra benefit. Here's current student Jay again to tell us about it.
Actually, it's more of a revolving cohort. So we did have three participants who were actually graduating. So it was my first semester and then three individuals where that was it for them. And at first I thought, well, this is odd because I've never been in a program where individuals don't start together and end together. But the uniqueness or the richness of this experience, the three that were graduating were very valuable and almost like a separate support group that would help us understand you can get through this and this is what this course looks like. And they were almost instrumental in connecting the future dots. So it was, an unexpected bond and enrichment by having a rolling cohort. And I've never experienced that before. So that was very unique to have. And so in this semester, there are four of us from our original fall semester, and then we've added or adopted three people. So that gives us our cohort of seven. So we're now almost the most experienced. And I just remember looking at them as recently as yesterday and understanding that was me just 4 months ago. And so my nurturing nature to say, it's okay. I know how you feel. I know what you're thinking. You're going to get through this. I find myself using some of the same encouragement that the previous cohort graduates used for us. And in the beginning, it's just very like, even though it's small, it's like, what does this mean? What have I done? And because it's accelerated, life is moving very fast. But having someone who says, I remember how I felt when I was in your shoes and it's going to be okay, that's the beauty of it. So I know that there are some traditional cohorts that start together and end together, but the uniqueness of a rolling cohort, I think I actually like better. Paying it forward with junior members to kind of help ease their anxieties and walk them through the program. So it's almost like a pay it forward type of approach. So regardless of where you start, it's ongoing and continuous support throughout.
As we inch towards wrapping up our episode, I've saved an extract for the end that sums up the cohort experience nicely. First, though, let's consider what we've learned about the cohort design in the Executive Masters in HRD and the benefits that flow from it. We've heard about the importance of size, diversity of those in the cohort, the key role of safety and there being a safe space within cohorts, the sense of community and collaboration that generate key relationships that are both important within the program and last well beyond it. And we've heard about the trust within cohorts that not only provides support, but goes beyond that into challenging you to be better and helping you to be seen. To wrap up the episode, let's now hear from Sharonda White, who's the program manager for the Executive Masters in HRD. And so she meets students before they start the program and is in weekly contact with them throughout the program. She therefore has a wonderful position from which she can see how students experience cohorts and how that experience evolves over the 11 months. Here's Sharonda.
Our students are very diverse as far as the industries that they come from. So it's a learning opportunity to get outside of what you do normally and have conversations with people that do something completely different. Some people are in sales, some people are in HR, some people are in education, and just to hear their perspective on the content that you're learning. You'll lean on them through this experience. These people know what you're going through. They're in this with you. And, you know, as part of the cohort, you guys pull together and unite and pull each other through. They will choose a name for themselves. Each cohort has an identity. And once they decide what their identity is, that's how we refer to them. They develop their chats or teams or text threads where they're on there with each other, encouraging each other. It's a very safe space. And I know that's probably kind of cliche, but it is a safe space here in our cohort. Through a lot of conversation, a lot of dialogue and reflection. We make it okay to be open. We make it okay to be vulnerable. We make it okay to accept people where they are and for who they are. Our cohorts have shared so much with each other, kids and dogs and births and all of that stuff. It's an amazing experience to watch these strangers come together. And when I talk to the people coming in, that's what I say. These are the people that you will be with for the duration of this 11 months. You'll come in together. You'll take all of your classes together, all at the same time. And they do become like family.
Thank you so much for joining me for this look at the importance of cohorts in the design of the University of Houston's Executive Masters in HRD. I want to thank my guests for the episode. You heard from Winston Joes, Anne Lee, Ed Monsevais, Brittany Smith, Jay Thompson, Abby Trujillo, Sharonda White, and Stephen Woods. I hope that their stories have encouraged you to reflect on your own experiences of education programs and the benefits you've experienced from programs designed using cohorts. I'll be back next week with another episode when we'll examine the role that change plays in the program, how people think differently about change, and how that translates into change leadership in the workplace. Until then, this is Darren Short signing off from Executive HRD. Executive HRD is brought to you by the University of Houston's Executive Masters in HRD and is a production of allbypodcast.com.